If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter. I feel that the Lord has laid upon my heart a word, a message. Some of the things that I will say over the course of the next 45 minutes or so will not be easy to say, will not be easy to explain in totality what I feel inside of my heart. And yet, I believe that the Lord wants it said. The book of Matthew, chapter 7, reading verses 21, 22, and 23. Here's what the Bible says, the words of our Lord Jesus. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Think of the awfulness of what I'm reading to you. And I hope you're following along in your Bible. Think of the horribleness of it. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And I'm going to be preaching on the topic for just a few moments. A staggering indictment. Religious, but lost. Religious, but not born again. Religious, but not saved. How horrible. Multitudes find themselves in that predicament in this hour. They are religious, but lost. Father, I approach you this morning with fear and with trembling in regard to the words that the Holy Spirit has given me. Lord, I ask you somehow to pour out your anointing upon this message. Anoint my lips, as trembling as they may be, Father, to speak only those things, God, that your Spirit would want said and done in this hour. Anoint the people that they would hear and receive and grasp and comprehend your word today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. A message like this carries with it such severity that literally it is physically difficult to preach it. The Holy Spirit, I believe, is concerned about this issue so much so today that he is moving upon and stirring preachers that have a heart for God, preachers that are honest and sincere before God, to preach messages like this. Because you see, there are multitudes of people today who expect to go to heaven. But instead, and I don't say this with levity or lightness or casualness, but instead, they will go to a hell of eternal torment. Yes, there are thousands of good, quote-unquote, people. Moral, quote-unquote, people. Church members and even preachers and prophets and priests that will find themselves lost while all the time they think they're saved. Newspaper columns sometimes carry stories of life's most embarrassing moments, but nothing in life could ever bring the horrible humiliation, the disappointment, or the shame that is described in the passage of Scripture that I read to you. For you see, that is the future that's awaiting multiplicities of multitudinous, perhaps millions. They claim salvation, but they will receive damnation. I want you to think of what I'm saying. Our churches are filled with it. And I want to throw this out to you at the beginning of this message, because I can hear the wheels turning in your minds as you're thinking, Brother Paxton, how could you say such a thing? How do you know that what you're saying is true? Because I'll tell you this. In the past several years, there has been a paradigm shift within the church. Until today, much of what we are hearing preached is the wrong message. Much of what is passing for the gospel today in the year 2000, the month of September, much of what is passing for the gospel is in reality another gospel. Much of what is being preached today as Jesus, looking so close to Jesus, sounding so much like Jesus, but in reality, it is another Jesus. What is being passed off today, in many cases, as the moving of the Holy Spirit. Great revival is in reality, according to the Word of Almighty God, another spirit. And I'll tell you this. If the message isn't right, the people can't get saved. Now you think of that. If the message that is being preached is false, if it's off center, if it's off the foundation that was laid by the apostles and the prophets, if it's off the foundations, it cannot get people saved. That's what we're experiencing in the church today. Oh, I know there are scores of people that are converting to this false brand of Christianity, this counterfeit Christianity. There are people that are walking the aisles, thinking that Jesus Christ is going to make them rich. People today are being introduced to a feel-good Jesus. But that's the wrong message. That's the wrong... What is the message? Brother Paxton, if that is the wrong message today, and if we're preaching the wrong message and millions are accepting it, and they are. You see, Brother Swaggart made a statement. I either heard him say it or I read it in his magazine, but it was so right on. He said, a 500-pound man is big, but he's not healthy. Yeah, there's numbers coming into our churches. The church today is big on numbers. There's riches in our churches. There's gold and silver and people that are being converted to a counterfeit Christianity, which in reality is no Christianity at all. The church is big, the church is bloated, but the church is not healthy because the message that's being preached is wrong. The message that needs to be proclaimed, and it's always been the message, is the message of the cross, Christ and Him crucified. And that's the only way that people can be saved. That is the only way that we can see people leave their religion. And most of the church world today, trust me, I know what I'm talking about. Most of the church world today operates from a religious mind, but not a spiritual mind. They think religiously, but not spiritually. They take even their efforts of self and flesh and dress it up in religious garb and call it the power of God, or call it walking in the Spirit, or half a thousand other tags that we've attached to it, but in reality it's not spiritual at all, it's carnal. Because the only thing that opens up the door, the only thing that can save a soul, I want you to hear this, the only thing that can open up the door, the only thing that can save a soul, the only thing that can fill a believer with the mighty power of the Holy Ghost, the only avenue of healing and prosperity and blessing of God, the only avenue is the cross of Jesus Christ. For it was there that He defeated every power of hell. It was there that He conquered every sin, every sickness, every disease. Glory be to God. It was at the cross. The cross. The cross. And when that message isn't being preached, people can join churches, they can join groups, they can become members of clubs, but they can't be born again, because the only way to be born again is through the cross of Christ Jesus and His shed blood. Amen. And that is the message that the church must return to in this hour. I can tell you of many things that the Spirit of God has spoken to my heart regarding this, but one of the most important things that I've learned in the last couple of years is this. In many segments of the church today, we're so busy, we are busily glorifying ourselves, but we have forgotten to lift up Jesus. But Jesus said, you see, that if I be lifted up, talking about Himself, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto Me. That's what He said. Praise God. The last time I checked, the last time I read my Bible, the most important business of the church was not to accumulate silver and gold. The last time I read the Bible, the most important business of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was not to entertain the masses. But the most important business of the church of Jesus Christ is to see souls saved, born again by the power of God, and brought into the kingdom. Amen. Today, especially in America and other places around the world, but America primarily, I would know more about because it's where I deal. Many people are religious, but they are lost. They are lost. I want to ask you a question at the beginning of this little message. What type of Jesus do you serve? Some of you serve a Catholic Jesus. Some of you serve an Assembly of God Jesus, a Baptist Jesus, a Methodist Jesus, a Salvation Army Jesus. Some of you serve a prosperity Jesus. Some of you serve a name it and claim it, Jesus. And don't misunderstand me. I believe in the promises of God. They are yes and amen. But what type of Jesus, which Jesus do you serve today? I'm going to tell you, the only Jesus that it is proper for you to serve and the only Jesus that is the real Jesus. I'm going to tell you right now. You want to hear it? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Glory to God. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Him resurrected. And Him seated at the right hand of the Father. Glory to God. And if you are in Him, well, slow down now. If you are in Him, you're saved. But if you are serving and following after another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit, you're lost. You're lost. Oh God, you're lost. And you may be very religious. You may go to church every Sunday. You may sit on the front pew. You may sing in the choir. You might even be preaching to a congregation. But if you're not following the Christ of this Bible, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, if you're not following the Lamb of God, hallelujah, that taketh away the sin of the world, if you're not following Him, but you're serving another, you're lost. And the cry of the Holy Spirit of God today is just simply this. Come to the cross. The book of Revelation says the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who is athirst come and drink of the water of life freely. Glory to God. You might be listening at me right now. You might be very religious. Maybe. I don't know you. You might be very religious. You might be high up in a denomination. You might be the executive director of the Zama Zama Club of First Church down the street. But if you don't know the Lamb of God, if you're not in Christ, what do you mean? What do you say? If you're trusting in anything other than the crucified Son of God for your salvation, if you're trusting in your religious activity, if you're trusting in your religious performance, and this goes the same for believers that are listening to me right now, for your victory over sin in your life, if you're trusting anything other than the crucified Christ, the finished work of Christ upon the cross, if you're trusting your religious activity, if you're trusting in your creed, your dogma, if you're trusting in your preacher, if you're trusting in your denomination, if you're trusting in your family, anything else other than the crucified Christ, if you're trusting it for salvation, you're not really saved. And if you're trusting it for victory as a believer, you will never find victory until you put your faith in the finished work of Christ upon the cross. Let me tell you today, church, victory is not in the power of our confession. Victory is not in the power of our giving a dollar and asking God to give us a thousand back. Our victory today, and our victory yesterday, and our victory 200 years ago and 2,000 years ago, our victory tomorrow will be in Christ and Him crucified. Christ and Him crucified. Christ and Him crucified. Don't be religious, but lost. This, and I haven't put my finger on all of it yet. I know I'm not doing this message justice today, but somehow this figures so prominently and ties in so prominently to the last days apostasy that is even now upon the church and the mainstream of religion today. The mainstream of so-called Christian circles looks and listens at preaching like this, and they think we're madmen. They think we're nuts. They think we're stupid. But we're not. Because you see, even though some have changed their message, the message has never changed: Christ and Him crucified. I say it to you again, don't be religious but lost. Don't fall in this hour for the purveyors of a gospel of greed. A gospel of actually it is lust. So much of the church today, it breaks my heart to say it, so much of the church today is lusting after the same things and having greed after the same things in life that the world does. Our priorities as God's people have been all jumbled and confused and twisted around. Why? Because somewhere along the line, the emphasis was taken off the cross and placed on ourselves. Placed on things that we can do to guarantee fortune and fame. Let me tell you something. It's a farce. It's a joke. Yeah, you heard me say it. You heard me say it. Much of what's being preached under the guise of gospel today is a joke. And we need to get back to the cross. We need to get back to the cross. We need to put our faith back in the finished work of Christ, not in how many times we can say a thing, not in how many times we can try to buy a miracle. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you shouldn't give. I'm telling you the exact opposite of that. You should give. You should give. But you cannot buy the glory of God. You cannot buy the miracles of God. You cannot buy the blessings of God. And I know this is going to sound real hard, and this is going to sound real bold. And really, I'm not, because I'm trembling inside. But listen, most, I didn't say all, but most of the preachers that are involved in this business are simply scamming the body of Christ. It's a scam. It's a sham. And God's going to put a stop to it, mister. And you mark it down. You better believe this preacher today. We give from a heart of love. We give because we love Jesus. We love souls. We give out of obedience to God. Not playing some type of spiritual lottery. And that's what most of the body of Christ is doing today. Don't you believe, preacher, that God blesses people? Yes, He does. We have enjoyed godly prosperity for many years now. Glory to God and the Lamb forever. And God will bless. Oh, listen to me, Christian. You can't outgive God. You can't never outgive God. One book that I read, I like the title of it. You can't beat God given. But God is not a Santa Claus. God is not a slot machine. Jesus Christ is not a bellhop that you snap your fingers and demand. We've lost our sense of respect because the message has been wrong. Basically, the church just stopped preaching the cross. And we have substituted other ways and attach some scripture to it and called it the gospel. It's not the gospel. The gospel is, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The gospel is, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ, save in Christ and Him crucified. And the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world, the Bible says. That's the gospel. The gospel is amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. That's the gospel. It's a far cry from what's plummeting out of most pulpits today, isn't it? Oh, I beg you, dear friend. I beg you, dear friend, today, don't be religious, but lost. There are many today who are self-satisfied under a delusion, a false refuge, if you will. But when they stand before Jesus, they will literally be horrified to hear that He never knew them. Are you following after me? Are you following after what's being said here today? The biggest reason that we're seeing people who are converted to our churches, they're going to church. More Americans today say they believe in God than at any other time in the history of this country. But if they were Spirit-filled believers, if they were truly born again Christians and Spirit-filled believers, why is our country in such a mess? I mean, it's a high percentage, 85, 90%, 95%, I don't remember what it is, that say they're born again Christians, say they are believers. But if that were true, what's going on? You see, there are multitudes of people who profess righteousness. And many of those who say, Lord, Lord, wonderful works. Lord, Lord, wonderful works. They will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's like Cain. His sacrifice was not acceptable to God because he offered it of himself. He offered his vegetables. Abel offered a blood offering that pointed to a future Redeemer, none other than Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I want to say this. The biggest reason is the message that's being preached. It is producing fruit unto damnation. I could elaborate that point. I could belabor that point. I could explain it in graphic detail. I do not have time to do so today. But the biggest reason that we've got people coming into our churches and they're there and they're participating even and they're shouting really loud but they've never been born again is because, and as I told you how we know this, is because they've never heard the plan of salvation yet. Don't misunderstand me. Some few of them probably get through and somebody witnessed to them or somebody shared a tract with them and they accept Jesus into their heart. But if you depend on what's being preached from behind most pulpits, it's impossible for people to get saved because basically what's being preached today, this message is not going to win me friends. But I'm sick and tired of not, you know, I watched Christian television a few days ago. I watched it for several days and I kept a running tally and I watched program after program after program after program. And at the end of each program, I would ask myself, if I didn't know anything about Christ, if I didn't know anything about God, nothing about the Bible, nothing about church or Christianity, could I get saved after watching this program? And less than 30% of the programs, and I say it with a broken heart, at less than 30% of the programs that I watched, could I have gotten saved if I knew nothing? If I was a stumble bum, if I was a drunk and a drug addict, or if I was a homosexual, God forbid, or a sinner of any description, even if I was a good, moral, religious person, but lost, I couldn't get saved over less than 30% of what come on over Christian television. You think of what I'm saying. Preaching their psychological gospel. Trying to wed the church in psychology. It's impossible to do it. Preaching their greed gospel. And again, I hurry and tell you that I believe God blesses and prospers. But I don't believe He feeds the idols of our greed and our lust and our destructions. And the number one culprit for why, you know, it's amazing to me. I've really blown my notes here today, folks. It's amazing to me. We're living in the most technological advanced time in the history of the world. Truly, the church has every tool it needs at its disposal. At least the potential is there. Why is there no earth-shaking revival? Why does it seem at times, of course we know this is not true because it seems at times that the opposition is winning. And of course we know that's not true because we've read the last page of the book and we win. Amen. And we know that God is more powerful than Satan. Amen. And we know there's coming a revival. There's coming a harvest of souls. Hallelujah. But I believe first, the church must be called back to the message of Christ and Him crucified. And what I think is going to happen in this day where that sad phrase that is the title of my message, religious but lost, I believe what's going to happen is you're going to see a dividing line begin to form in the Church of Jesus Christ, where there's going to be those who preach and believe and put their faith in the cross of Christ and the finished work of Christ upon that cross. And then you're going to have the apostate on the other end of the spectrum. But God has always had, has now, and is going to have a people. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. God has a people that'll serve Him. God has a people that'll believe Him. God has a people that'll trust Him. Glory to God. God has a people that cares about winning souls. God has a people. He's got a people, hallelujah, that has a burden in their heart for the lost souls of this world, that will present to those lost souls Jesus Christ and Him crucified, not some fad, some garbage that's going around out there today, but the true message of the gospel. God has a remnant. And that remnant church is going to be powerful in God. That remnant church is going to be rich in Christ. I didn't say billionaires. I didn't even say millionaires, brother. But that church is rich in Christ. The true remnant church of the Lord in this final hour will be bold. Bold to preach the blood. Hallelujah. Bold to preach the cross. Amen. There's a remnant. And I'll tell you something else, too. For the true child of God, for the true child of God, there's nothing but victory, 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 victory. Don't let temporary setbacks get you down. You'll have victory, victory, victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. The victory is in Jesus. Oh, I beg of you, dear friend, today as you listen to this gospel sermon, don't be religious but lost. You need to meet the real Savior, the real Jesus. You must come to the cross. Yes, I want to tell you that many preachers, church workers, many who have even successfully cast out devils, many who call Jesus Lord, will yet wake up in hell. How terrible is this warning to those who have prophesied, to those who have really preached and taught and worked in Jesus' name, yet the dear Savior will be compelled to say to them, I never knew you. Even some preachers that are preaching and really, truly, and genuinely getting people saved, but their faith is misplaced. We'll hear those awful words, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Oh, beloved, today, the cry of my heart more than anything else. See, I know preaching like this isn't going to be attractive to most. I know there will be many that will hate me, shun me, turn from me. I know that. But it doesn't make any difference to me anymore. I'm too old to be scared of you. And I'm too young to be worried about you. It just doesn't make any difference to me anymore. The cry of my heart in this hour, the cry, the thing that keeps me going, keeps me up, into the hour, the wee small hours of the morning at times in the Word and on my face before God, the thing that keeps me going is I want to know Him and I want Him to know me. Hallelujah. I want to be used of God. I don't have an agenda. I don't have a plan that I'm trying to get God to bless. I'd rather just pray and find out His will, and it's already blessed. Amen. His plans are already blessed. They're determined in the counsels of heaven. I want you to notice that Judas worked miracles in Jesus' name. He, like other apostles, preached the gospel and had people saved. He was sent out with the rest of the 12 to preach and to heal and to cast out devils. You can look at Matthew chapter 10 and read about it. He was a preacher. He was a prophet. He was an apostle, a worker in Jesus' name, a church member. He was religious but lost. You see, he went to hell. Make sure, listen to me. Listen to me. The hundreds, even the thousands. Listen to me right now. Whatever you do, oh God, I beg you. Oh God, I plead with you right now. Whatever you do, whatever you've been listening to, whatever you found yourself associated with, I don't know you, I don't know your story. But dear God, make sure you're saved. Make sure you're born again. Make sure you know the Christ of the cross and that He knows you. For in the days and the hours that are ahead of us, my beloved brothers and sisters and friends, we're going to need to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us to place our confidence in Christ. Somehow, we church folk have got to learn to take our eyes off of religious mechanisms and put our eyes on Christ and Him crucified. You see, that's the source of all power. I've heard so many say, where's the power in the church today? I don't know, but I can tell you where to get it. The cross. The cross. Hallelujah. The cross. It's the source of all power. It's the source of all purity. If you want to live a holy life, if you love God, and I'm talking to believers now, but I'm talking to those of you that are sinners that are listening at me also. If you want to live pure, if you want to be free from the shackles and the chains of sin that have you bound, purity comes through the cross. Prosperity comes through the cross. If you want to be prosperous today, and I'm not just talking about dollar figures, dollar signs, that is only a weak and beggarly element of prosperity. Have you ever heard of peace in your heart? That's prosperity. Have you ever heard of loving family relationships? That is prosperity. Come on, somebody. Have you ever heard of peace with God? Have you ever heard of a clear conscience before God? That is prosperity. The church is majoring on dollar amounts, and we're seriously lacking in discipline in our homes. We are seriously lacking in love in our marriages. Good God Almighty. We are seriously lacking in true faith in Christ. And we've traded it for baubles and trinkets and gadgets. Jesus said, you know, the church in Revelation said, Jesus said, you think you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, but don't you know that you're poor and miserable and blind and wretched and naked? True prosperity. The even as thy soul prospereth kind of prosperity. Spiritual development with the Lord. Growing in grace. That's prosperity. And it only comes through the cross. And yes, it does include financial blessings. Most definitely. But you make a serious mistake, child of God, when you limit God to money. And I don't have time to preach on that today. I beg of you, dear neighbor, make sure you're saved. Make sure you're saved. Don't be religious, but lost. In that same seventh chapter of Matthew, verses 13 and 14 says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Here we have a startling and sad truth. Now think of this. In the aggregate, compared to the total population of the planet, statistically, Jesus is here saying more people are going to hell than to heaven. More people are lost than saved. It is a narrow road with a straight gate that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. But it's a broad road and a wide gate that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. According to our Savior, relatively few people in the world, out of the millions and millions and millions and billions and billions that have walked the face of this planet over the course of history, relatively, it'll be a great number of people in heaven, but in comparison to the whole, relatively few. Oh, how urgent the task and the responsibility that is set before us. How urgent. What is the mission of the church? Win the lost at any cost. Win the lost at any cost. Preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Preacher, do you hear me right now? Are you listening to me? Open both ears. Preach the cross. Preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because we've got to bring in a harvest of souls in these last. We've got to tell our neighbors. We've got to tell our friends. We've got to tell our relatives about Jesus. I stood in my living room this morning in devotional time, and I was listening to a song. Really, I was watching it over a video. And that song began to come on. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the Spirit of God began to waft over me and fell upon me as I was listening at that song. And the phrase came up out of my innermost being, that the world may know, that the world may know. God, that's our responsibility. Church, church, that is our responsibility. That the world may know. Preacher, what are you preaching? Church member, what are you doing? Good God, they're out there everywhere dying. Have you witnessed to anyone today? Have you told anybody about Jesus today? What are you doing? My God, it's time that we allow the Holy Spirit to shake us again, to wake us up again. The Bible tells us to rise up out of sleep. Oh God, there are millions that are religious, but they're lost. And there's no hope. There's no hope for them to be saved if they don't hear the message of the crucified Christ Jesus. They will not get saved hearing a message about the First Baptist Church on the corner or the First Assembly of God Church in town. They're not going to get saved by hearing three easy steps to selling your real estate. They're not going to get saved by hearing 37 ways to save your marriage. They're going to get saved when they hear that Jesus Christ was crucified and he died and was buried and rose again to save this world from their sin. Some of you right now are trapped in so much bondage you don't know what to do. And it ain't but one way out. You don't need another notebook full of notes. You don't need another seminar. You don't need another preacher to rub the hair on your head. You need Christ, and you need the Christ crucified, the cross of Christ and Him crucified. Praise God. You need the message, not a message. And I'm not saying that some of these other things aren't good, because they are. I'm not saying we don't need some teaching on marriage, because we do. I'm not saying we don't need some teaching on prosperity, because we do. I'm not saying we don't need teaching on this, that, or the other, because we do. We believe in the whole Bible. But every bit of this Bible flows from Calvary. Glory to God, every bit of this Bible comes from Calvary. And the most important thing is your salvation. Oh, neighbor, friend of mine today, don't be religious, but lost. And for those of you that are listening to me and you really know Jesus, I mean you really know Him and you really love Him, you understand what we're trying to say here. For God's sakes, don't go to bed tonight without telling somebody about Jesus. I just want to issue that challenge to you right now. As I close this little message, I didn't even get to preach through a third of my notes, not even a third of them. But I want to issue this challenge to you, dear Christian friend of mine today. You love God. You're saved. You're born again. You're filled with the Spirit of God. You know Him and He knows you. Praise God. But I challenge you today, don't go to bed tonight. Don't let your head hit your pillow and fall into sleep until you have told somebody today about Jesus and that He died to save them and He rose again. Hallelujah. And He lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. Glory. Glory to God. Don't let this world continue on religious but lost. And there are many of you that are listening at me right now, and you're Christian workers or you're preachers or teachers or whatever, and you've been preaching wrong and you've been doing wrong and you know it. God has shown you through this message. I beg of you today, don't harden your heart, please. Don't allow impure motives to rule you. Come to this Christ of Calvary. Maybe you're saved, but you're drifting. You're drifting into things that you don't even understand or know why it's wrong. You see, the church today is so theologically weak. There's a definite shortage today of sound doctrine. And so many people don't even know that they're listening to poison. Maybe you're one of those, and you're a preacher. You're a pastor, you're an evangelist, you're a prophet or apostle. The Bible tells us to repent. The Bible tells us to seek God. The Bible tells us to humble ourselves. You see, I'm not standing here preaching this message to you today in some type of gusto and bravado. God has humbled me and broken me to the point I didn't want to say these things, but I must say them. I must say them. Don't be religious but lost. Come to Christ. Come to Christ today. In the name of the Lord, I beg of you. I beg of you. As kindly and as tenderly as I know, I'm urging you to make sure of your salvations. Millions who claim to be saved are lost, and you might be one of them. Millions of church members are unconverted, unregenerated sinners living under the wrath of God, perhaps. You are one of those. In hell today, there are countless millions of people who were good Methodists or good Presbyterians or good Catholics or good Assembly of God or Pentecostals. Many of them appeared to be Orthodox, even in doctrine, baptized, confirmed, respected members of their churches who have gone to the place of despair, a tormenting hell, because they were never truly saved. You think of what we're telling you. How can I be sure? Let me ask you a question. I didn't have time to preach this message. But what is your false hope, if you have one? The prophet Isaiah warned Israel of his day in the 28th chapter, the 20th verse. I don't have time to read it right now. You can look it up. But listen, dear friend. Have you made lies your refuge? Have you hidden yourself under falsehood? I go back to the question I asked you at the beginning. Which Jesus do you serve? Do you serve the true Jesus of the Bible that was crucified and died and was buried and rose again for your sins and for mine? Or do you serve a Jesus of your own making today? Do you approach God today like Cain did, with a false hope, a false way of salvation? Do you present today your good works to God, thinking that they will save you? Or if you're a believer, do you put your religious works before God, thinking they will deliver you? I ask you, what is your false hope? There is one road to heaven, my friends, and it's straight and it's a narrow way. There's one road to hell that's broad and wide. The only way to enter into eternal life is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You cannot put your confidence in church or religion, as wonderful as those things may or may not be. The only hope of salvation is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I beg of you a last time today. Dear friend, beloved one, please do not be religious but lost. Please make sure you are saved. For anyone under the sound of my voice right now that would desire to give your heart to Christ, you would desire to know this Jesus, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. I'm going to make it short and sweet and to the point. The words of this prayer will not save you, but if you believe them in your heart, you will be saved. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. I know that I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sins and to wash me in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord today. I forsake sin and the devil, and I turn unto Christ in repentance right now. And I believe in my heart, Lord God, that you have raised Jesus from the dead and he is alive today. I believe that he was crucified for my sin and he shed his blood for my sin, but he was raised from the dead. And right now, I believe Jesus is alive. He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. And I ask this Jesus to save me now. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. So according to the Bible, the Word of God that cannot lie, I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. Praise God. If you just made that commitment to Christ today, I would love to hear from you. I'd love for you to write to me so I can rejoice with you and we can send you some information that can help you get.
Praise the Lord. I want to thank you so much for joining me for this message today. Let me give you our new ministry address. We would love to hear from you. We want you to communicate with us. Let us know if these messages are a blessing and a challenge to your spiritual life. When you write, please include your prayer request. We believe in a God who answers prayer in Acts 26:18 Ministries. Amen. And we want to know what you are dealing with so that we can join our faith with yours and reach out and touch God. Amen. Because God will answer prayer. Amen. Also, feel free to send us your testimonies, your praise reports, and we just want to hear from you today. Amen. You can write to Acts 26:18 Ministries, Len and Angie Paxton, Post Office Box 5714, that's 5714, in Traverse City, Michigan, 49696. And we will look forward to your letters and your cards in the mail. I just pray that God has blessed you through our outreach ministry. You know, it takes a lot of labor and effort and work to put all this together on a consistent basis. And we do it all for you. We do it for Jesus, but we do it because we want you to be blessed. We want you to know the Word of God. We want you to love the Word of God. Amen. We want you saved, delivered, and healed by the power of the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Amen. And we know that our God has made provision for our lives. Hallelujah. And we want to share the good news of the gospel with you, our partners, our neighbors, and our friends. So until the next time that we can come together around the Word of God, this is Brother Len Paxton saying, go with God, and He will go with you. Bless you now is my sincere prayer.